All right, before I start, that sounds good. What a strange parable this is. And we've heard, if you've been to Mass over the weeks, it's parable after parable after parable. This is one of the strangest ones at all. Here we have a wedding feast. He invites people to his son's wedding, and they don't come. Not only do they not come, they run away. Some of them actually kill the servants that came and invited them to see. What a strange parable for us to sort of figure out. We could just pass it off, because as we hear in the beginning, it was directed to the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees. And you say, okay, this is just Jesus again telling the hierarchy of the Jewish faith how they've abandoned the people and abandoned God. And now God the King is going to give the kingdom of heaven to someone else more deserving. We could do that. But then we just don't, why should we read this to us today if it doesn't say something to us today? So I'm going to get just to the point. And I want you to listen very carefully to the question I'm going to ask you. Is there anything in your life that you have refused to forgive God for? I didn't ask if you don't feel forgiven about something. I didn't ask that if you felt bad that you did something and you're just worried that, well, God can't forgive this. We know that's not true. You could come here every week and I will tell you, God forgives you, God forgives you, God forgives you. What I'm asking is, there something that you hold deep in your hearts that you have yet to forgive God for? Think about it from the point of this parable. If you were just didn't want to go to a wedding, what do? You just say, okay, I'm busy, I got something. You don't go. You don't mistreat the people that invited you. You don't like tell the people, not only am I not coming, but I think you stink. You don't do that. What would make you do that? If you had something against the king, if you had something against them that you said, I don't want to be with you, I don't trust you. So I'm asking you to search in your hearts, because it's probably very deep, and think about, is there something that you haven't forgiven God about? It could be something, and I can come up with all different kinds of ideas. It could have something to do with how you made decisions about going to school, going to this college. God, why didn't you tell me to not take art history? God, why didn't you let me go to college? God, I really didn't want to go to college, or I did want to go and I didn't go. Why didn't you talk to me? How about getting married? God, why don't you tell me our life was going to do this? This is going to be hard. Why didn't you tell me my spouse had a drinking problem that I didn't know about? Is there something in your life that God should have changed? He should have warned you? And he should have said to you, don't do that. It's going to mess up your life. To me, that's what this parable is saying. Because the people in this parable, the stars, are the people that don't show up. They don't come to the feast, the kingdom of heaven. See. What makes it harmful if you hold on to that? What's the problem? You've held on to it this long. What's the harm? The first harm, obviously, is to your relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God, a God you can't trust. And yet, so often, because we know he's all powerful, he's almighty, he's all good, we don't want to ask that, why did you do that? Because we're afraid. It's like going to the Wizard of Oz and asking, help me with this. And you don't want to ask God because you're afraid. You're afraid he's going to say, that's just too bad. Carry your cross. That's just what I gave you. You're supposed to be that. You're supposed to happen to you. Then you're stuck with, well, why? So we often don't want to ask God those things. So it affects our relationship with God, and I'm telling you, you could be sitting here right now worshiping God, and you don't have a relationship with him because you're holding on to something that you need to ask him why. This happens in our readings. Think about Martha and Mary when Lazarus died. What did Jesus do when he hears Lazarus died? Did he run to see Martha and Mary? No, we hear in the Bible he sat around. Oh, Lazarus is dying. Let's sit around here for 3 more days. And then when he shows up, what does Martha do? Martha runs and yells at him. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We often gloss over that. She was yelling at Jesus. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So when we don't bring things to God, it harms our relationship with God. But it also harms our relationship with everyone else. And if you think about it, that thing that you've held on to, that thing that you haven't forgiven God for, has altered the relationships that you have in this life. It makes you look more judgmental at people. It makes you look at a comparison of people. How come that didn't happen to them? I hope it happens to you. You think, you got it bad. You should have seen what happened to me. We become that way when we talk and have relationships with people from what we do. Being a pediatrician for 25 years, I've seen a lot of things. I've had to tell parents when their children have died, when their children have had cancer, when their children have been born with cerebral palsy, terrible disabilities, with premature babies, that they go home on oxygen and feeding tubes and things like that. I've done that all. And it's interesting that in some families, many, too many for me to want to appreciate, within 2 or 3 years of that happening, they divorce. The parents separate. And before, I used to think, well, you know, just men grieve different than women, and they never have talked about it. They didn't get together. They didn't communicate. And then I thought, well, maybe they had a bad marriage anyway, and this was a camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back. And it just was the last thing. But now as I think about it and as I read this parable, I thought, you know, it probably was one or both of those parents that couldn't forgive God for what happened. And because they didn't, it affected their relationship with someone else, someone that they did trust, and now they can't. So what is the thing that I want to tell you is not just to leave you with that, but there is a way to take that thing that's in your heart that you don't forgive God for and give it to him. Because again, we see it not in this parable, but in the same Martha and Mary story. The first thing you need to do is you have to sit down, take a deep breath, and give it to Jesus. Tell him what it is. Tell him why it bothers you. Tell him why you couldn't forgive him. You yell at him as much as you want, because that's what Martha did. Martha yelled at Jesus. Why weren't you here? And what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't moralize Martha and Mary. He didn't say, don't worry, Martha, I will raise him from the dead. Don't worry, I'm Jesus. How can you talk to me like that? What did he do? He said, Jesus, in hearing that Lazarus died, he wept. So the first thing that you need to do when you reveal what you're holding is let Jesus weep with you. And you will weep. And that's fine. You may weep in a way that you think you're never going to stop, but you're weeping with Jesus. That's the first step. The second step, after you're done, is to start to look at your life in response to this thing that you were holding, not from a negative standpoint, but from a blessing standpoint. How were you blessed with what happened in your life? Not that it was terrible, but how were you blessed? What happened that was you can be grateful for? Turn the lenses that you looked at it on. And the third thing is very similar. You give up the chains of self-pity. Release yourself from bondage of self-pity. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. The fourth thing that you need to do is you need to believe and trust that whatever happened to you that you couldn't forgive God, hopefully in this life, but certainly in the life to come, you're going to understand that it had a purpose. There was a reason. It wasn't just unlucky. And not only will you understand that there was a reason, you will see that it had to be that way. That terrible thing that happened in your life, it had to be that way because this is what happened because of it. That's the fourth thing that you have to understand. And the fifth thing is to just be patient with God, in God, because now this is all out there. You're walking with Jesus with this. You don't carry it anymore. Let him tell you what to do with it. Let him be the one that decides how you move with your life from there. I don't know if you've ever truly forgiven somebody where they've really done something wrong to you, there's no good explanation, and you said, okay, I'm not going to let this bother me anymore. It's destroying me. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to just forgive that person. I'm just going to let it go. Remember the peace and freedom you feel when you let that go. It's almost like a physical weight being lifted from you if you've ever forgiven someone. Imagine how you'll feel when you let that thing that you've not been able to forgive God go. You have a freedom and a peace that you'll never, ever give away. And it will enhance your life with Jesus and God because you can trust again. This whole parable is about who gets invited, who gets to go. It's really trust in God from what we do. We have some strange fellow that doesn't come in a wedding garment and he gets chased out. What's that all about? To me, it tells me there's no shortcuts here. You can't pretend that you forgave God. You have to go through those steps. You can't just say, okay, I'm just going to give this up. You can't. There's no shortcuts here. God's offer of the kingdom of heaven, it's always there. We know it's always there. What's keeping your heart from really giving that thing that you haven't been able to forgive him?